This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Jones and Keefe.
In the last week of the regular season, any thoughts on being at least on the short list when it comes to potential MVP?
Yeah, I think, just honor. Just honor. I told everybody's said some things in the locker room. It's us. You know, it's not just me. It's us in the locker room. It's really a team. It's really a team deal, I think. You know, they say it's player, but I think wins help that. So obviously, there's been some great seasons around the league from a lot of players, and it's an honor. But also at the same time, we gotta work to do.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
Are you ready?
Happy Friday. Everybody, Megan Ottolini here with John Lyons. We're with you until 2 p.m. today, filling in our final day, taking over for Jones and Keith. The boys will be back next week. As noted in the Twitch chat, yes, dark and stormy nights. Jones and Keith are on their annual holiday vacation together still. I believe they're in the Bahamas somewhere. Hope they're having a wonderful time. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI is where you can find us. You can also find us live streaming on YouTube. You can find us on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, and you can join the show here, 617-779-7937, on the phones, on the text line, as always. John, how was your New Year's?
You know, Mago, it was very interesting because it was the first New Year's in a long time that I was just at my house at midnight, so it was nice. We went to a little party, came home early, watched the end of that Miami-Ohio State game, had the Bruins game on too, but it was just nice to kind of not be out and about at midnight on New Year's this year.
Yeah, we have a open door policy here today. So we are going to be talking about, you can talk about your New Year's. We're going to be talking about Patriots. We're going to be talking about the Drake May MVP campaign that will have its finale in week 18 on Sunday with the Dolphins coming to town. We are going to continue to talk about the Diggs and Barmore situations, the team's response to it, what may happen from a league perspective, what may happen from the perspective of the legal process ongoings and how that could affect this team in a football sense. And if you want to talk about CFP, you want to talk about the college football playoffs because there was an awesome game last night.
Talk about how it took a year for that Ole Miss Georgia game to end.
Jeez. How about a year to get like an actually really good playoff game, though?
I know.
But the rest of the game stunk.
Indiana, your offensive line winning MVP of the Rose Bowl. You know I was fired up for that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I'm not saying there wasn't good football being played. It's just in most of the other games, it was only being played by one team on the field.
Yes, correct. So it took until the fourth quarterfinal game, but we got a good game.
Hey, if you want to talk about how the Bills are once again trying to outsource their labor in their stadium to fans to come out and shovel out the snow. Like, that's why, just quick rant off the top here, because I saw this on Twitter and it's like a cutesy tradition now that they do. Like, oh, who would have thought the lake effect brought another blizzard to Highmark Stadium? Do you want to come and be the final fans to help shovel out Highmark Stadium for the last time? It's like the team's worth $6 billion. Hire somebody to do it, guys. Stop asking your fans to drive out in the snow when you make such a big deal about every time that there's these lakefront blizzards. That, our fans are too tough. They're going to try to brave the streets to come out here and we have to rethink the times. Then you're asking them to come out and shovel your stupid seats? Like, hire somebody, guys.
Do they pay the people to do that? Or at least give them, like, tickets to the game?
I don't think so. I think it's just like a cutesy, fun community thing.
Absurd.
If you're a Bills fan and you've done it before and you want to correct me if I'm wrong, you can please chime in, 617-779-7937. Just another, just a cheap owner shout out. You know, we do it so much within our own community around here. I thought I'd shout it out to the Bills because you guys literally just built a new stadium. They are opening next year. Like, stop asking people to do this for free.
I mean, it could be worse.
A tweet that they pay them $20 an hour.
Okay, $20 an hour.
$20 an hour?
Yeah. According to the tweet
I might take
I saw,
7
yeah.
hours okay. to shovel one section just to, run up the price.
Right?
Yeah. But you know what? Even those owners aren't as bad as the Kansas City Chiefs, who are just like fleecing the entire state of Kansas for that new stadium project they got going on.
Does that make the Crafts look significantly better? Because, yeah, of course, you have the news coming out about the Rev Stadium.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and it, look, the baseline for ownership is, do they care about winning and are they willing to spend? But I also think it meant, like, when Gillette Stadium is paid for with private money, this Everett Stadium is going to be paid for without public funds. Like, look at what, you know, the Marlins did to the city of Miami. The Chiefs are going to do now to whatever city in Kansas. I think they're in Kansas City, Kansas, they're going to. But, like, the, what these teams do to these cities is pretty brutal. Like, a lot of, and the cities rarely, if ever, if you look at the economics of it, make that money back that they invest. So, yeah, I give the Crafts a ton of credit for privately financing Gillette Stadium in 2002. And the soccer stadium now.
Do you think that there's any fan out there who's like, yeah, I mean, I would just rather see that money go back into the Patriots rather than a new Rev Stadium? I know, I'm not trying to hate on Revs fans,
because, yeah, well, like,
I know they're
out
there
about,
and they're like incredibly fervently asking for the stadium. But is it going to be a similar thing to, like, did we really need another giant lighthouse on top of the small lighthouse that was nowhere near the ocean?
It's kind of like what we talk about with, like, John Henry, like, oh, if he pays the Liverpool soccer player, is
he not
going to sign
the pitcher? But is it different because it's local? Because it's another local
maybe
team?
Maybe a little different, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, look, you still got to think it's money coming from. So I give them credit for using private money for it. But, yeah, it is money coming from out of them, and you want, I mean, look, though, they spent a ton of money this offseason, so until they show me otherwise, like, that's been the Patriots' problem the past 5 or 6 years. It wasn't that they weren't spending, they were just spending and screwing it up. Like, they gave Juju Smith-Schuster a lot of money, and he wasn't good. Like, they gave other guys, in 2021, they spent $250 million, and they gave him a one-year bump. So the Red Sox problem was they didn't spend as aggressively as other teams. The Patriots' problem was they spent, just didn't do it
You're
well.
You're saying Nelson Aguilar was a bad deal.
Yeah, it was a little overpaid. Jalen Mills, all due respect, a little overpaid.
I want to grab a call here really quick, 617-779-7937, because we do have Bills fans who are coming out saying, hey, they get those $20 per hour. How dare I? Chris in the car has shoveled snow for the Bills. Chris, why did you do it, and what was that like?
So it was awful. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
And I ended up with tickets to the game, and we're watching the pregame, and the snow is piling up. We see nobody shoveling snow. We had second row on the 40 yard line. The only thing they don't tell you is that there's nowhere to shovel the snow. So we just we got there first and shoveled it over to the next people's seats and just let it ride. And we stood out about 6 inches of snow the entire game. It was ridiculous. I saw no hourly employees whatsoever. So
wait.
I know what really goes on.
So, Chris,
that's what went on.
Did your neighbors who were sitting in the snow seats that you dumped your snow on, did they show up to the game and have to sit in your snow?
They kind of did, yeah, because that's what the plan was. We had to steal a shovel because somebody was hogging it. They didn't want to share. And it was kind of a clown show, so to speak.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that that's what actually happened. I was surprised. I thought they had that stuff under control, but they really don't.
Thank you, Chris. So there you go. People are chiming in. Yeah.
I think they do that at Lambeau too. Like, people will come and shovel the snow, but I feel like Lambeau has a better system where they, like, dump the snow down, like, to the bottom near the field. So I don't know. Maybe the Bills don't.
I don't know if this is true or not, but this is.
Are you talking about the 413
I like this
text?
Allegation. We have a blind item, as they say in the tabloids. Used to work for a tabloid myself, the Boston Herald. Love that life. Love a blind item. Can't verify this, but it's silly, so I'm going to read it. 413-LMAO, if you know what that stands for. I have an electrician friend from out here in Springfield. They're helping build the new Bills Stadium, and they're putting all kinds of Patriots stuff inside the walls and around the stadium, LOL. So they're setting a curse on the new Bills Stadium.
That's good. I appreciate that.
I like that.
It's like the guy who put the David Ortiz jersey in the foundation of the new Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Very nice of him.
Okay, we're having a fun start to the show. There is a lot of serious stuff that we need to continue addressing, because we welcome your fun calls, but because it has been a serious week with the off-field allegations against Stephon Diggs and then Christian Barmore. Last time that we were on here together, John Lyons, the allegations broke against Stephon Diggs. We had his attorneys down in Dedham remotely, and the team came out with a statement in staunch support, saying, literally, we support Stephon. And he was in the locker room the next day. I was in the locker room the next day. He was there, practiced as usual, as far as all of us could tell, and that's been going on this week. But the very next morning, driving down to Gillette, we get more allegations, a little bit of a different kind, against Christian Barmore. And so I was very curious sitting in the media room. I was chatting with some of our fellow reporters, media brethren, wondering how the Patriots, specifically how Mike Vrabel, was going to address the situation. Everyone was saying, is this going to be Mike Vrabel taking the especially later stage Bill Belichick route of having a pre-prepared statement and saying, I'm going to read this. The rest of it is a legal situation. I'm not going to address it. It's a legal situation. I'm not going to address it. That kind of tack. Vrabel didn't do that at all. If anything, and I would have guessed that Gerard Mayo would have done that too. Done what Bill had done for so many years here, because that's kind of how you handle it here. Vrabel took, I don't know, a dozen questions and very specific questions. He talked to reporters who were sitting there on either side of me with the documents from the courts, from the lawyers right in front of them about what Christian Barmore, the allegations against him were. And I was very surprised. I just want to play, Jackson, if you have it ready. This was Vrabel opening up. Karen Garigian is always the one who, from Mass Live, a longtime former Boston Herald reporter, she gets the first question down there in every press conference. And so he turned right to Karen. She asked about how, whether he was, whether these allegations were disappointing. And this was Vrabel's answer.
Well, I would say not disappointing at all. I think that these are allegations, like you mentioned in your question. It's things that we have to handle, and every day that there's distractions, some are smaller than others. And, you know, I'm confident that, you know, we'll focus on the Dolphins, and, you know, those two individuals that you mentioned will, you know, be able to, you know, handle the ongoing legal process.
So what was your immediate takeaway? And then I'll give you mine. But I want to open the floor to you, John Lyons, because I just talked for like 5 minutes.
So I'll start with something that we talked about on Tuesday, and I think this kind of confirmed that. When it comes to Diggs, they think he's innocent. And maybe they'll be right, maybe they'll be wrong. But that statement, remember, categorically denies the allegations, and then the three sentence, we support Stephon. And then for Vrabel to say not disappointing at all, they think Diggs is innocent. And again, maybe they'll end up being right, maybe. But for the team statement to be that strong, and then for Vrabel to say not disappointing at all, they think he's innocent. Now, with Barmore, you got to remember, this isn't the first thing. And I know, like, people have talked about, well, Diggs, there was stuff in Minnesota, there was stuff in Buffalo. But with Barmore, this isn't like, remember there were whispers about him at Alabama, and that's why he fell to the second round of the draft. And look, I was excited when the Patriots drafted him.
There
I think he's a great player.
Reports at the time about character concerns.
Exactly. And then there was the incident with the police officer last year that he had at the traffic stop, and I know that's kind of over with now, but it's just...
He did apologize for that.
And he did.
The fact.
It's just now, so this is... So we're talking... It's now multiple things with him since he's... And again, great player. I was excited when they drafted him, but this is now multiple things since he's been here. And I feel like...
Couldn't you say that in some context with Diggs as well? Because
with the boat
he
incident,
had the boat then, incident, didn't
right.
have any criminal or league implications at all. We don't know how the team handled yeah. it completely behind scenes, but didn't seem to be a ton of disciplinary action there.
No, really. All I remember, and you were down at mini camp more than I was, was Vrabel said something along the lines, we need to make good decisions for the team. And then Diggs was out there practicing right after that. So
I would say biggest disciplinary action that they had with Diggs immediately after the boat incident was that he was expected to be there in person
yeah.
at practice.
Because that wasn't
because
he there the next
far,
practice?
Yes, he had yeah. not been there. He had not been at minicamp. And so he shows up that one day. Honestly, the biggest takeaway at the time, we all looked at it and went, damn, he looks really good. He looks really healthy. He looks like he, whatever rehabbing he's been doing, and if he's on that dumb boat, like, he looks ready to play football. Yeah. That was the biggest takeaway at the time.
And look, Vrabel's a smart guy. This is a risk for him, because if he says, no, they're not disappointing at all, and it turns out that one or both of these guys are guilty, then that will look really bad for him. Now, if they're both innocent, he'll look right, and he'll look smart. But this is that's a risk, because like you mentioned, the way Bill used to do it, if they'd put out a statement, you'd ask him 50 times about it, and all 50 times he'd say, well, you know, we already put out a statement about that, and that's how it would go. That was that's the safer way to play it. Like, the way Vrabel is playing it is,
it's not safe at all.
No, and so if they're turned out to be innocent, then he'll look really smart. But if one or both are not, then it's going to be a problem for it. Like, that's it's just a risky way for him to play it, and it's interesting that he would go that route. Like, he's not a first-time head coach. Like, he was in Tennessee, and I know we were talking about this the other day. I don't think the Titans had any scandals or anything like to this, but he's been, like, Gerard Mayo would say a lot of dumb things last year, but it's like, okay, he's a first-time head coach. He's still figuring it out. Vrabel was a head coach. That's why, too, it struck me even further that he was that strong kind of when he came out and answered that question.
I was kind of shocked at the way that he handled it.
I was shocked at the team statement initially, too.
The team statement about Stephon Diggs, and we'll continue to talk about that statement because then they had to put out a statement about Christian Barmore the next day, and I thought it struck a very different tone. I promise we'll address that in a few minutes. But by putting out the statement you did about Stephon Diggs, it does set a precedent about every statement that you're going to put out when something else off the field happens with a player, especially when it's an alleged violent incident that involves a woman. Now, the way that Vrabel started off that press conference, I was bracing for, wow, like this could be something that could really haunt him. Because saying that it's not disappointing at all to have allegations swirling around out there, again, about two instances that allege accuse violence involving women, that's a really serious response to have. I thought as he went on, he talked about the seriousness and the sensitivity of the situations. And from his perspective, these are allegations. There has been no legal process yet to determine the responsibility, innocence or guilt, anything like that. And so that's the important counter to have to all of this, right? I know there's text messages already coming in about why are you presuming someone's guilty, blah, 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 blah. Why are we even talking about this? They're still on the field. The NFL hasn't done anything about it. Well, the allegations are really serious in nature. And so if you don't want to talk about it, like even from a football perspective, there can be some real impact on the football team. Much of this football team has been, the team is really close. The direction from the head coach has been flawless. The guys in the locker room say, guys who came here as free agents, Stephon Diggs, Kalyvon Chason, have said this is the closest locker room they've ever been in, the best locker room they've ever been in. Like, this is something that you can't ignore. And I think that's what Vrabel demonstrated yesterday. So while I do think that first answer, I understand people's reaction to going like, whoa, that is not the right note to strike. I do give him a lot of credit for standing up there, taking questions from Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald. Hey, did you know about the car that was allegedly sent to Christian Barmore's accuser by the team to take her away from the scene of what she said happened there? All of that, I give him a ton of credit for being transparent, for being a human being and standing up there and addressing what's going on off of the field. Like, I think that demonstrates leadership. Did you like the way that he handled all of it? Maybe you didn't, but I do appreciate being a person and speaking on behalf of his relationship with the team.
Yeah, and I think, too, the other part of this, if you want to just talk the football aspect, Diggs is your second-best offensive player. Barmore is one of your highest-paid players, and I know at times been inconsistent. He's one of your best defensive players. So I know people are like, oh, it's an off. Like, yeah, it's a serious situation. It's a locker room situation. And then the third part of it, it's an actual on the. I mean, if the NFL says, hey, you can't play them wild card weekend, that's a huge deal for whoever they play wild card weekend or beyond that.
Right. It's a developing situation. We got a lot more to talk about in the next segment. We'll talk to Mike Onwenu from the Patriots, offensive lineman. I believe it's going to be right after they get out of practice, so we're hoping that's going to be in the 1 o'clock hour. But of course, these things are always shifting around, so we'll keep you abreast of that situation. But here's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Do you think he'll be put on the NFL's commissioner's list?
I think generally when we've seen that, there's been some level of physical evidence.
Okay.
And like, so I don't think so. Like when you look again, with Greg Hardy, there were pictures. With Adrian Peterson, there were pictures. With Ray Rice, there was video. Like, I think it has to rise to the level of, like, this is really embarrassing for the league that this guy is on the field. That's what that was intended for in the first place.
Okay.
Welcome back. Megan Ottolini and John Lyons with you until 2 p.m. That was Albert Breer on Early Edition with Trenny Casey on NBC Sports Boston discussing whether he thinks that Stephon Diggs and or Christian Barmore will be placed on the NFL commissioner's exempt list, as we saw with players in the past. And obviously, this is the football side of it. Like, could you lose either of these guys as these situations continue to develop? There, Albert Breer, who's super tight end, talks to executives all over the league, has a great handle on this kind of stuff, says there isn't really a level of physical evidence in these cases. I would assume, I think that was right after Stephon Diggs, where there aren't photos, according to police reports, court documents. There is no physical evidence. It's a little bit different with the Barmore case, because according to local reporting, there are some photos that were attached to the court documents that came out of, I'm looking at NBC 10 Boston right now, that came out of the Barmore allegations. So don't know about that. Don't know if that's going to be, if we're talking about physical evidence, if that presents a different case. But particularly for Stephon Diggs, according to Albert Breer, it would be a big surprise if he, at least with the amount of information we have right now, if he would end up on the exempt list.
Yeah, and I wonder if that plays into, again, how strong the team statement was in support of Diggs, because you think the exempt list as well, and like when Jabril Peppers was placed on it last year, that was a situation where something happened. He was in court pretty much right away. I think, I don't know if it was the next day or 2 days later, but he was in court right after he got placed on it. Remember, he got found innocent, but he was placed on the exempt list right away, whereas Diggs, so his lawyer was at court, but he wasn't there. So I could see them not placing him on the exempt list. And then there was, even when the story broke on Tuesday, one of the things that his lawyers were haggling over was his arraignment going to be January 23rd, which was 2 days before the AFC Championship game, or were they going to try to push it back all the way until March, which would obviously be well after the NFL season? So it feels like, to me, if the exempt list was going to happen with Diggs, I feel like it would have happened by now. Like, it's been a few days, and I know we had the New Year's Day holiday, so maybe that delays it, and maybe there's some decision today, but I don't think there would be a decision after the Miami game, unless some new information comes out. Like, they would decide to put him on the, because why would you have him available to play in the Miami game when the thing happened on, the story broke on Tuesday, and then put him on the exempt list after? So if he's going to get put
if
on
new
it,
information came out.
Exactly. That,
if,
that's
it,
the only reason.
Particularly a different level of evidence came out.
Sure.
That's what would change it. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Hey, doors are also open to anything else. Guys, we know this is serious stuff. If you want to talk about MVP, if you want to talk about the Celtics beating Sacramento last night, like, we're open to all of it. If you want to talk about Bruins, if you want to talk about Red Sox continuing to do nothing, I don't know why you would, but you can chime in on that. 617-779-7937. We're going to continue detailing these situations and, of course, the impact from a football perspective. Here's Jeff in Rehoboth. What's up, Jeff? Jeff? All right.
Oh.
Jeff, we're going to put you on hold. Hopefully you come back. He said he wanted to discuss Vrabel's response again with that first question from the press conference yesterday. Again, I'd say, not sure, like, the word choice was exactly what you want for opening up the response. I know there's fans on the text line, 617-779-7937, who say they staunchly like Vrabel's saying that he's not disappointed at all. Like, that these are allegations, and that is important to continue repeating. These are serious allegations that are sensitive in nature, and they should be treated with the seriousness, but they're allegations. Nobody has been found criminally accountable at this point. The legal system will do its thing. We can only talk about it as a developing story.
Yeah, and again, you kind of made the point, and I think it's a good one, that it wasn't just that opening statement from Vrabel. Like, as it went on, he talked about the seriousness of the situation. Because I think at first glance, if you just hear that, oh, they're not disappointing at all. And I said this last segment, like, wow, that's a risky thing to say. That might end up looking really bad. And it's still, that's true. But then you look at what he said later on in the press conference, some of his other answers, and there's a little bit more of a, well, I don't want to say well-rounded picture, but maybe a little bit more of a
well, there's
picture.
More context.
Yeah,
to
there's
all
more
of it.
Context to it. So I think it is one of those things that if you're following the story, it's worth the effort to listen to the whole or watch the whole press conference, not just that initial answer.
And honestly, like, it feels obvious, but I think it's worth saying. When you hear the beginning of the clip that we just played of Albert Breer discussing whether or not these guys will be or could be put on the commissioner's exempt list, the situations that he details before that, covering Adrian Peterson, covering Ray Rice,
Greg Hardy as well.
Again, these are allegations, but part of the reason that they have to be taken so seriously is because there is a gross precedent that has been set in the league when it involves violence and women, and it's really unfortunate. Like, trust me, I know people don't all want to hear about it, and maybe they particularly don't want to hear about it from me or my tone of voice, but it's just disappointing. Like, if these allegations are not true and they're found to be, both guys are found to be completely innocent of these allegations, it's disappointing all around. I don't know how you say it's not.
Yeah, and that's the thing. However,
like, it's disappointing then that the allegations were brought and that we have to go through this again. It's disappointing from any angle that you play it. How is it not disappointing?
Yeah, and I think that's, however this ends, it's disappointing. Because, like, if both of them are guilty, that's disappointing. One of them's guilty, that's disappointing. Both innocent, disappointing you had to go through this whole thing.
Right.
So no
or
matter
disappointing
what,
that somebody would bring those charges against, knowing the precedent of things that have happened that have had horrible physical evidence that we've all seen, especially with Ray Rice, beforehand in the same league.
Yeah, and that's it. So I was, that's why to me I was surprised when Vrabel said that, why I said it was a risk too. For him to say it's not, to because you and I know this, even though you were there for the whole, what was he talk, 15, 20 minutes or so?
Probably about 15 minutes.
Okay. You and I both know that if one or both of those guys is found guilty, the one thing that's going to be replayed 8,000 times is going to be Vrabel saying, no, not disappointed at all. Like, that's going to be the thing. Even though everything else you said is right, that he added other context, he talked further. We know how social media works. We know how people work. We know how the media is, because we're part of it. That's the thing that's going to be replayed. That's the thing that's going to get hammered on, which is, again, why I felt like that was a risky answer to an extent from him. And look, he knows more about the situation than we do. So maybe he'll end up being proven right, but it's just, it is a risk. Cause like I said, if this doesn't go the way they think it's going to go and one or both of these guys is found guilty, that's going to be the quote that's going to be attached to him for a while afterwards. No, not the only quote, but when it comes to this situation, that's going to be the quote.
And again, not disappointing at all.
I give him credit for standing up there, not shutting down the questions. He never said, like, I'm done talking about this. He did say, hey, they're focused on Miami. Like, they're focused on that. That's the football perspective. I get that. But I give him credit for that. I just think it was a rough start. Yeah. It was a rough start for a sensitive situation. One other aspect of this, though, has been the overall organization's response to the situations. We're going to go back to that same early edition episode because I thought Trenny Casey did an excellent job putting this into context about the statement that the Patriots initially put out about Stephon Diggs, in which they said, we support Stephon.
My point is you don't have to put that in there. That just opens you up, I think, because the one phrase everyone has talked about today, they haven't talked about the release in its entirety. They haven't even talked, I haven't even heard a lot of people talking about whether or not he's going to play on Sunday or if he'll be on the NFL's commissioner's exempt list. It's all about, well, it must not be that bad if the Patriots are supporting him. I just think that you can support someone without putting it in a statement and putting it out there when unless you are prepared to say exactly why you continue to support him. I just think it's a slippery slope, and I think it sets a dangerous precedent for a team, if we are being honest,
right,
that has been caught with its pants down before.
And I mean, like, the one thing is, like, now going forward, every time they put out a statement like this and that's not in there, like, what are we going to think?
Right.
So
we talked about this on Tuesday.
It sets it up perfectly because then the Patriots have to put out a statement on Christian Barmore the next morning. And the statement on Christian Barmore is the Patriots were made aware at the time of the incident and informed the NFL in a timely manner. The matter remains part of an ongoing legal process. We will respect the process, continue to monitor the situation closely as we have over the past few months, and cooperate fully with the league. We have no further comment at this time. That's much more boilerplate in these situations that you would expect. And because it's not even 24 hours after the statement that they put on Stephon Diggs, there is an obvious comparison point of one of these is a full-throated, we support Stephon, these are accusations. The other one is, we're aware. We're working with the NFL. We have no more comment. Yeah. Like, that's night and day.
Big difference. And this is, you and I talked about this at length on Tuesday when this story broke. We support Stephon. Those three words tell me that the team thinks he's innocent and they're going to stand behind him. And maybe they don't feel that way about Barmore. Maybe they don't know the situation as well about Barmore.
Well, isn't that odd, though? Because just really quick, they said we were aware of the incident at the time.
Yeah, which was August.
So if you would think that they would have more information on one incident that allegedly occurred in August and one that allegedly occurred at the beginning of December, you would think that they would have more information about the one that was months and months ago.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And that's why that statement, again, we support Stephon. That's not, and beyond the Patriots, when there's a scandal in any sport, business, anything, you always get that Barmore-style statement, well, we're aware of this, we're gathering. Very rarely do you get the unequivocal, we support XYZ person, whatever. Like, that to me, of everything that's come out, statements, locker room quotes, those three words, I think we're the most significant, because that tells me they think he's innocent, they're going to stand behind him, and they already believe that before the story came out, because let's not forget, Stephon Diggs' story broke at 11:30 a.m., you and I were on the air, that statement was out by 11:50, like 20 minutes later, so they knew they had that ready to go of supporting him and believing he's innocent.
All right. Well, we will continue taking your calls and discussing the situations as it develops. 617-779-7937. On the other side, I promise now we are going to turn to actual football on the field because there is a final game in week 18. We have the playoff picture around the Patriots developing, some news about who's sitting, who's playing, and how it will all affect the Patriots right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Patriots Friday on WEEI is presented by Toyota, Cross Insurance, Pepsi, Shaw's and Star Market, findmassmoney.gov, and by McFarlane Energy.
Another great song choice by Jackson. Well done. Well done behind the glass there. Let's grab a phone call before we turn to our week 18 playoff picture coming into form. Matt in Rhode Island, you want to talk about shoveling at Highmark?
Yeah, just quickly, and I wanted to speak on the Celtics also. But good morning to you guys.
Good
Happy
morning.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's either 20 an hour or a game to the ticket. Ticket for the game, I'm sorry.
So it's not both? It's one or the other?
Yes, it's one or the other.
That kind of sucks.
Do they still give game tickets? Does that also include playoffs if they host a playoff game? Like, I'm saying in past seasons.
That I'm not sure of. A friend told me he went last year. He lives up in Buffalo. And he's like, yeah, they offer 20 an hour or a ticket to the game. So I took the ticket. I was like, wow, that kind of sucks.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Well, I mean, depending on the game, you could take the ticket to the game and earn yourself more than 20 an hour, right?
If you wanted to go down that road. But see, the thing is, like, the ticket to the game, and don't get me, I'd probably take
there
the tickets,
too. There has to be
too.
A minimum for that, but right? Also, like, a minimum amount of shoveling that you do for the ticket to the game.
And also, let's say it's a 1 o'clock game. So do I show up there at 9 a.m.? shovel for, or 8 a.m., shovel for 4 hours. Now I'm freezing, probably wet from snow, and then I got to sit for 3.5 more hours at the gate. Like, is there somewhere that I can, like, go and warm up? Like, do they give me any opportunity
to warm
for
up from all that shoveling?
I get maybe.
That's
what
a
if
workout.
You're really bad at shoveling, though? Like when you were a little kid and you didn't feel like shoveling, you just did a bad
that's
job,
a
so your dad makes it over.
You're just
bad
chipping.
Shovel. Don't put shoveling on the
shovel.
Resume.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You could just be eyewash shoveling and then you get a free ticket.
For Brad Foe's best shape of your life, Jackson, you can work on shoveling between now and opening day.
No, thanks. I'm 40. I don't need that anymore.
Just shovel some snow, you know?
I got to be honest, and this is going to be like a total jinx. I don't know the last time I shoveled my car because we haven't had.
I did yesterday.
You had to shovel your car yesterday? How much snow did you get down here?
We got like 3 inches. And then, of course, the car had a couple inches on it. So I had to clean it. I had to shovel my driveway.
I'm not talking about cleaning off your car. I'm talking about shoveling out the tires so you can get your car out.
So here's the thing. We technically could have got out of the driveway like without shoveling, but it was like a few inches. So I was like, I'm going to shovel. But earlier.
Sounds like you were just dying to shovel.
Yeah, I like doing landscaping and yard work. I hate shoveling. That's like
everybody
the one outside
shoveling task
I hate. But what was it? Was it Sunday night we got snow? Like that next day I had to shovel too.
At least with shoveling your car.
Got like 4 inches.
There's like such a sense of accomplishment when you're done. Like when you shovel that car off and you use the brush and clean it all off. And then you look at the other cars around and yours is the one that's been freed.
Yeah.
Like there is that sense of accomplishment that you don't get with
see,
much other
see, in suburbia for us, that's the driveway. Like my driveway's clean, but you know, all the neighbor's driveway's still full of snow. But of course, where we get, I don't know if this happens to you in the city. When the plow comes by and leaves all the sandy, salty, wet snow at the end of your driveway, and it takes more work to shovel that one strip than it does the entire rest of your driveway, and you're cursing at the plow guy the entire time.
Yeah, I park in a lot, so I have that. And don't worry, not like a garage spot, guys. It's not fancy, but I do park in a lot, so I don't have to do that.
Sick brag,
thank
bro.
Mego's
got a reserved spot at the Prudential Center.
It's not reserved. It's just a lot that I paid to park in. But it's also like a death trap right now. I'll say I saw two people eat crap in the lot this morning, and it made me feel a little bit better because when I got on my car yesterday, I was wearing snowshoes, and I almost bit it. It's so icy. It's like a rink out there. So be careful, guys. Remember, when you're on the snow or icy streets, walk like a penguin. That means you take very little small waddling steps and you lean your body forward a little bit. And that way you won't eat it because you don't want to do that.
Public service announcement.
Public service announcement. Walk like a penguin. I learned this the hard way. David in the car wants to talk about shoveling for the Bills. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year. So, you know, that's interesting what they want to pay because the company that I own, one of the businesses that I own, we supply services, and that's one of them we do is in the winter. If people need, you know, hands-on people to shovel snow, whatever, we do that, and not just in New England. We do it, you know, outside of New England as well.
Sick brag, bro.
So $20 an hour that they're offering, is that's cheap.
I think
they're
so,
they're not exactly doing you a favor. Because if I supply the service to them, they're going to pay me a lot more than 20 because I have to pay my people at a minimum to shovel snow, $25 an hour at a minimum.
Okay. Thank you, David. I thought it sounded cheap too, but.
And I feel like it's been $20 an hour for like 10 or 15 years. So like inflation goes up and like they just still $20.
I honestly didn't even know they were paying these volunteers. Yeah. So I got to admit that from the top of the show.
You should get paid and a ticket to the game though. Like the fact that you have to choose one or other, that kind of sucks.
Somebody texted it and said they also get free food and beverage. I'm guessing like a soda. I don't think it's like an alcoholic beverage because that would get wild.
Yeah, there'd be some interesting snow angels if
or
they
over there.
Did. Well, what do you get for food too? Is it like any food you want,
chicken
or
tendies,
is it like you get one like hot
slice
dog?
Of pizza?
Yeah,
yeah. I would love to know David, like the town that he's in, because we always get David in the car, and the amount of businesses that he's involved in. I just picture it's like one of those old school towns where you go and he's the sheriff and he's also the judge and he's also
the snow removal guy
yeah. And he also runs
town
the
clerk.
Local hospital.
Yeah.
You know what he does now? He's a private investigator.
What?
I swear.
So you had us talking to a PI and you didn't tell us?
David's a man of many jobs apparently.
Oh.
And former amateur pro soccer player.
I knew that. I actually did know that. We talked about that before.
What does that mean? Amateur pro soccer player?
Maybe, okay.
What's
yeah, that
an
doesn't
amateur
make any sense.
Pro soccer player?
I was going to kind of let that go.
Yeah, low-level soccer player? I don't know.
Yeah. A guy who played soccer before.
So like a minor league soccer player.
I guess. Yeah, he did talk about that once. I knew that, Jackson.
Anyway, as we talk, you continue to talk about the Bills getting Highmark Stadium shoveled out by their fans for $20 an hour. We get the news yesterday from Adam Schefter that Josh Allen is going to be sitting in Week 18. That could have a big impact on who you play in Wild Card Weekend if you're going to play in Wild Card Weekend. So we know Justin Herbert is sitting. That is going to give a huge leg up to the Broncos getting the number one seed overall.
Yep.
Now we know Josh Allen is sitting. That opens up the possibility that a Mitch Trubisky-led Bills team could lose to the pathetic Jets. I still think that the Bills will have the edge. It's possible. And then you have the Bills sitting in the seventh seed, and you see them again for the third time this season. When you look at the Bills versus the Chargers, I would guess most people would want to welcome the Chargers from their cozy SoFi Stadium over to New England.
Yeah, I think both are beatable, but I'd rather play the Chargers because even though Josh Allen is sitting, like Justin Herbert has a broken hand, like that's a more serious injury. Coming West Coast to East Coast too, that's never easy. And I know that's more anecdotal, but that's never really easy for teams. And I would also say too, like that Chargers defense is really, really good, and I take them seriously. But Buffalo has already come to Gillette and won a game this year. So they have that confidence there. And I know they gave up 31 points, but they have that level of confidence. I think they're both winnable games, just in different ways. So, but I would prefer to see the Chargers. And the other piece of this, too, and I know the Bills aren't as dominant as they were last year, year before, it's still a team that's been to the AFC Championship game, gone deep in the playoffs. So Justin Herbert doesn't have playoff win yet.
It's still Josh Allen. Yeah. If you're choosing between broken hand Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, you're going to prefer broken hand Justin Herbert. Yeah. I know it's not that simple.
And also
there's other
James
stuff
Cook
around
too.
This.
Like I think we need to add in James Cook. Like James Cook is probably a better player than anyone on the Chargers offense around Justin Herbert. And no disrespect to those guys. That's just how good James Cook is. Like he's that
good.
Well,
it's not like they have good receivers.
Yeah, I know. And they had the two best offensive tackles in the league and both are hurt. That's another thing about the Chargers, right? There's Rashawn Slater gets hurt before the year, Joelle hurt during the year. Like I know the Patriots pass rush hasn't been great this year. That's something, though, maybe they can take advantage.
Don't worry about disrespecting the Bills. They're asking their fans to once again come out and dig out Highmark Stadium.
I am once again
maybe
asking
for, the last
for
time.
You to shovel snow.
Okay, we are going to continue our football talk on the other side. Do we have a response, finally, for those who continue to talk, myself included, about the Patriots' soft schedule allegations? Do we have a response for another team who looks like they're going to get the first week bye in the playoffs, the first round bye, and the number one seed overall, right after this break?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.